2 Peter chapter 3, and I want to center in on one verse here. But I want to ask you a question before we do, because I was thinking about this earlier this week. I know it's kind of conjecture, but how do you think you'll look back on this season of COVID-19 in your life? How do you think you'll look back on this? For some, I would say for most, it's challenging. It's been challenging for us. For some, sadly, it's been very painful. Maybe they have been not only sick, some have lost loved ones. Some have, my mom is in a nursing home right now. I haven't been able to go and see her in over a couple months. Some have lost, they're without work and jobs, and people are hurting. And so how will we look back on? Some are just bored. Some are just bored. And how will we look back on this season? And as I began to think about that, it just struck me that how we go through life's experiences and seasons, how we come through those times really depends largely on our attitude and actions in those times. And so if I want to go through it, man, if we got to go through it, I want to come through for the better. I don't want to just endure and like, man, I'll be so glad. I would be glad when this is all kind of over. But if we're in it now, then I really believe that we can come through for the better if we will sincerely ask God this question: Lord, how do you want me to grow in this? How do you want me to grow in this? And it really doesn't matter what the this is to what it refers to, because in any season, I believe that's a legitimate question to ask. And whatever it is, we can look at this scripture, 2 Peter 3:18, and know that it is God's will for us to grow. Notice what he says, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. How do you want me to grow in this? It is God's will for us to grow, but grow in the grace and the knowledge, he says, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That simply means Messiah Jesus. So let me ask you, let's make it real specific and hopefully kind of personal. If I'm going through maybe some of you are in just a very blessed season, things are going your way, you're happy, and you're saying, man, things are so good. How do you want me to grow in this? Maybe for others, you're like, I've got so much free time, I don't even know what to do. How do you want me to grow in this? Others are probably saying, I've got so many bills and I'm out of work. How do you want me to grow in this? For others, it might be simply, I'm overworked. We have a few brothers here in a church right now and in desperate need of rest. How do you want me to grow in this? So we can think about a lot of different seasons. Maybe some can relate to this one. I just had an argument with my spouse, and I'm just so, how do you want me to grow in this? I don't know how to homeschool, and these kids are getting on my nerves. How do you want me to grow in this? My parents are driving me crazy. How do you want me to, you get the idea, all right? That whatever it is, whatever it may be, how do you want me to grow in this? I was thinking too, even for some, maybe you had received a bad doctor's report. How do you want me to grow in this? I really believe that the Lord has an answer for us that wherever we are. I want to read this scripture again and begin in verse 17 this time, because that really starts the sentence and the thought. And the Bible says it this way, 2 Peter 3:17. It says, you therefore, beloved. How does it feel to be loved by the Lord? It says, you beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, be on guard, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. So as a loving father, the Lord is telling us as his sons and daughters, he's saying, be on guard, be aware, because there are some people who will try to lead you astray. And I want you to be on guard. And then he goes on and completes the thought in the next verse. We break it up in verses, but really it's the same thought. But grow. And that tense is keep growing. In fact, in one translation, it says it that way. Continue to grow. Continue to grow. Continue to grow. He says, keep growing, continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to really try to meditate on that. Think about it. Get it down into your heart and get it down into your spirit this week. Like, encourage yourself in the Lord with that scripture. But grow in the grace and knowledge. Continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is God's will for us. Now, I don't think you have to be a parent to relate to this, but certainly as an adult, we want children to grow. We want them to grow strong. We want them to grow healthy. We want them to grow to maturity and be productive. But as a father, God wants the same thing for us. God wants us to grow. He wants us to grow strong spiritually. He wants us to grow stronger, closer to Him. He wants us to grow and be productive or fruitful spiritually for the Lord. That's God's heart for us, that we would grow in Him. So how do you want me to grow in this? I want to give you two specific ways that I believe that is the Lord's heart where we can grow. But I've got to lay the foundation first, because spiritual growth requires spiritual life. Spiritual growth requires spiritual life. I want to read you a scripture here in just a moment, found in that first chapter, 2 Peter chapter 1. The Bible teaches us that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And our sin separates us from Him, because He is holy, He is sinless. And outside of His own work, we would be separated from Him. Not only in this life, we would be separated from Him forever. The Bible calls this separation spiritual death. It ends in a place called the lake of fire that Jesus told us it was not created for humanity. It was created for the devil and his angels. And thank God He loved us so much that He punished His own sinless Son for all of our wrongs. Jesus bore the judgment of our sins when He suffered and died on the cross. And when He said, "It is finished," His perfect sacrifice covered and completely removed every sin. He paid the price in full for every sin that we've ever committed or ever will commit. He defeated sin. He defeated Satan, and 3 days later, He defeated death. And He is back where He belongs, seated on His throne on high. And God offers full forgiveness and eternal, unending life to all who will simply believe what He said and receive Jesus as Lord. So the Bible says here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant of an apostle of Jesus Christ. I love these words. To those who have obtained like precious faith. We have the same faith that the apostle Peter had, that the initial apostles had. He says, we've obtained like precious faith with us. Notice what he says. By the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not our righteousness, it's His righteousness. But by faith, we get the blessing and the benefit of all that He did for us. He took our sin, and we can get our righteousness, get His righteousness. And then that next verse says this in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. In order to come into that grace, we must believe Him, faith, and we receive Jesus as Lord, and we have a new beginning, and we are born again by the Spirit of God, and from that moment on, we're to grow. Continue to grow all through this life, because as long as we're in this life, we'll never measure up completely. We'll all have an area in which we need to grow in the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2 says this. I'm going to come back to 2 Peter, but just the first letter Peter wrote, he says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes, you're born spiritually now, as newborn babes, desire. He's telling us that we can actually set our desires on Him and His will and His word. He says, desire the pure milk of the word. Why? That you may grow thereby. We cannot grow. Brothers and sisters, we cannot grow to our full maturity in the Lord without God's word. And he says we can cultivate a taste for it, so to speak. He tells us to desire it, hunger for it. Set your heart and set your mind on it, and that desire will grow, and you won't be satisfied without it. You won't be satisfied unless you're getting that word. You'll be like this plant. You'll start drying up, and you'll know, man, I need the water of the word to help me to grow right now, and I need to water myself. So how do you want me to grow in this? Two ways. Now, center on this, but I want you to hear it. I want you to picture the Lord saying it to you. Think of the one who loves you unconditionally. Unconditionally saying these two things to you. And here's the first one. Whatever you're going through, how do you want me to grow in this? Grow closer to me. Grow closer to me. So, Lord, I'm going through a hard time right now. How do you want me to grow? Grow closer to me. Lord, I've been so blessed. You've been so good to me. You brought me through this season. You healed my body. How do you want me to grow in this? Grow closer to me. Just keep growing closer to me. Grow closer to your Savior. Grow closer to your healer, your comforter. Just think about that a second. When you're hurting, he's your comforter. Grow closer to him. Grow closer to him as a deliverer. He's your strengthener. Do you feel weak? Grow closer to your strengthener. You're not sure which way to turn? Grow closer to your way maker. It all comes back to him. Grow closer to the Lord. The scripture assures us in the book of James, he says, draw near to God, and some of you know the rest of it, and he will draw near to you. His heart is already toward us. All he's waiting for is for us to take that step of faith. Lord, I'm seeking you. I'm drawing to you right now. I'm right there with you. Draw closer to the Lord. The Bible says 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's go back. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'll pick up again in verse 2. I want to pick that up right there. 2 Peter 1, 2, he says this. Grace and peace. Let me pause right there. Because remember what we read earlier? This is our theme verse. Grow in the grace. Grow in the grace. What is grace? It has two powerful thoughts that go along with it. One is, it's God's unearned favor. It's the favor and the kindness and goodness of God that we could never earn. We could never manipulate him. We could never deserve it. It has nothing to do with us. It really has to do all with him. It's God's grace is his unearned favor and power. Because the Bible teaches that by God's grace, his ability and his power, we can do his will in a way that we would never be able to do without his grace. So God, grace is the just unearned favor and power of God. And the power is it to, you know, like impress people, to give me a goosebump. The power is to do God's will. It's to do God's will and to do it from our heart the right way. So he says, grow in the grace. And he says that grace and peace are multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. So just think about this a second. If I were to ask you, in what specific area do you need God's grace in your life right now? We all have a need. So what is it for you at this time? In what specific area do you need God's grace in your life right now? This is good news because we can have his grace. He's wanting to give his grace to us. And he says this, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Messiah Jesus. So grace and peace. Do you love how it's worded right here? He says this, grace and peace be multiplied to you. You need grace? You need peace? God has plenty. Grace multiplied to you. Shalom multiplied to you. But how? In the knowledge of him. See, if I want God's grace and peace multiplied to me, I've got to get closer to the one. I've got to get to know the one who supplies the grace and peace. So that's what it means when getting to know him. If somebody said, but Brother Rocky, I don't see God. He's up in heaven, and how am I supposed to get closer to someone I can't even see? Well, in our day, maybe we can relate to text, email, social media. Maybe we've never even, see, back in the day before all of this, some of y'all know what that was about. People used to do, They used to have pen pals. If any of you remember pen pals, I never actually had one, but I knew of it. Oh, you know what I did? Man, what am I thinking? It's just coming to me. Actually, when I was in fourth grade, I went to the circus, and I was like, oh my goodness, I want to join the circus. I was just like taken in because I used to like animals, and I wanted to train tigers. And I was actually thinking about that yesterday. God didn't call me to train tigers. He called me to tend and feed sheep. But I wanted to train tigers, at least I thought I did. And so the man who trained the tigers, it was from Germany. His name was Gunther Gable Williams. And he was in the Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey Circus. And so we bought a program, and I found an address in there, and I found their itinerary. And I wrote him, and I didn't hear back until one day I received a letter. And it looked like it had this kind of like different envelope or whatever, and I opened it up, and it was a tiger picture on this piece of paper, and he had handwritten a note to me, and he wrote me back. And for some years, we had that relationship, now that I'm thinking about it, going back and forth. And I think he wrote that first letter to me from Madison Square Garden because it was stamped from New York. And when they came to Richmond, when I found out they were coming, because they only came every 2 years. They had two units at the time. And 2 years later, when they came back to the Richmond Coliseum, I got a map, I think my mom got it, of the Richmond Coliseum. And we bought tickets, and I found out where we were sitting. And I wrote him and circled, I pointed an arrow. I'll be sitting right here. And sure enough, during like an intermission, he had one of the men who like administrative office men in the circus come up and find me in the Richmond Coliseum. And he said, after this act, Gunther wants to see you backstage. And so we had that and we kept that going. I saw him a couple times there. But see, God, we became close just like talking. And we call talking to God prayer. So how do you get to know God? How do you get to know anyone else? You spend some time, you get close fellowship. You get close, you talk to them, even if you're not physically together. Man, I remember the day when we used to have phones that had cords. And when I was talking, like, to Kim, I didn't want, you know, we were half the time, probably most of the time, not saying anything. But I remember I didn't want anyone else to hear. So the phone was right here near the kitchen. I could stretch it two rooms away. So I could actually stretch that cord and get around the hall and be on. But we were still connected. It was like we were drawing closer. It's the same way with God. We draw closer to Him when we pray to Him, when we worship Him, when we hear His word and receive His truth. It's getting to know Him better. And brothers and sisters, as we get to know the Lord better, we grow in His grace. We grow in His peace. And whatever we're going through, I know God's heart. He's saying to every one of us through reaching out with nail-scarred hands, saying, grow closer to me. Grow closer to me. And I just want to encourage you with this because, in fact, let me finish that verse. This is so important. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, verse 3, as His divine power, please notice, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, here we go again, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Everything we need to live a godly life comes out of getting to know God better. It's found in Him and through His will. So as we get to know Him and we get closer to Him, and no one else can grow for me. Growth is not automatic. You are responsible for your own spiritual growth, just as I'm responsible for my own spiritual growth. I can't make excuses or blame anyone else. We are responsible. And you know what, Dr. Rojas over here, I learned in biology 101. You see if I'm saying it correctly, all right? I learned that in all life forms, growth and even maintenance of life require energy. Is that correct? Okay. So he knows. I just read in a book. But think about that. Growth requires energy. If we want to grow, if we want to get to know the Lord better, if we want to get closer to Him, we've got to make some effort. And we have to put forth some effort to make God a priority and to just to get closer to Him. So how do you want me to grow in this? First, grow closer to me. And then second, grow more like me. Grow closer to me and grow more like me. And I want to give you a scripture reference here. It's found in Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read it from a little different translation than we typically use here. It's from the New Living Translation. So grow closer to me, and then Jesus saying, grow more like me. Because as we get to know the Lord, we become more like Him. We grow in Him. This is how it's worded in Ephesians 4, 15 and 16 in the New Living Translation. It says, instead of being like just immature children all of our lives, He says, instead, we will speak the truth in love. Notice the word growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church, growing in every way more like Christ. This is God's will. Verse 16, He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow. There again, the emphasis on growing, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That is God's will for every believer. It's His will for His people, the church, that we are healthy and we're growing in Christ. We're growing closer to Him. We're growing more like Him. And that is just His heart for every one of us. And to grow in Christ is to grow in what's called the fruit of His Spirit. Maybe you can relate. How do you want me to grow in this? Grow in love. Right off the bat, the fruit of the Spirit is love. I mean, can't we all use that? How about this one? Joy, peace, patience. How do you want me to grow in this? We could pause right there, I think, couldn't we? I need some patience. Grow in patience. And I said, not impatient, in patience. To grow more like the Lord. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. How about this? To grow in self-control. I need that sometime when I get that snacky feeling at night and I'm just trying to keep myself awake and to exercise some self-control. Lord, help me. I need to grow closer to You. I want to grow more like You. And it's, He says here, speak the truth in love. I got to thinking about John the Baptist. You know, when an angel came to his dad and told him, because they were beyond the age of childbearing, they were going to have a son. He didn't believe him initially, and he went mute for the entire duration of his wife's pregnancy. He wasn't able to physically speak. And when the Lord basically released him and opened his mouth, the Bible says that this man, Zechariah, prophesied and he spoke a blessing to his son. But he actually started out like this. He said, bless the Lord, and he was blessing the Lord. And then he turned and he said, to you, child, and he began to speak to his son. And then right after that scripture, we read, and you can read it, I think it's in Luke chapter 1, it says that John grew mighty in spirit. So our words can not only affect our growth, and they can, but our words can affect other people's growth as well. So our words have power. We can speak words that encourage and comfort. We can speak words that damage and harm and hurt and put down. And so he says, and that's why the whole context here in this scripture of the entire church body, he's saying, speak the truth in love so that you can all grow together, so that we all grow closer to Him and we grow more like Him. Let's use our words for good. Let's speak. If somebody said, well, the doctor said this, I would say, all right, what do you say? Now, what do you say? We acknowledge, we don't stick our head in the sand, we're not denying anything, but our words are so important. And just as surely as proper physical exercise can promote health in our physical bodies, spiritual exercise, exercising our faith, promotes proper growth in our spirit. And I just want to encourage you with this. I'm going to give you two last references and we're done if you want to write them down, if you're taking notes. But whenever our faith is tested, it's an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to grow our faith in Christ and to grow more like Him. So whatever we're going through, of whatever season, good or bad, difficult, joyful, we can grow closer to the Lord, we can grow more like Him, and whatever lies before us, it's an opportunity to exercise our faith and grow stronger. If you want to write these scripture references, I'll read them to you. Because our faith can be tested first by prosperity and blessing. The Bible says this in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse 16. It says that the Lord fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and he might test you to do you good in the end. If we're going through a test, God is not out to hurt us. He's out to bless us and draw us to himself. He's got something good in mind. So he says this in the next verse 17, that if we're tempted, that when we're full, things are going our way, to say that you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this. I made this money. This is my money. I did this on my own. I got this expertise on my own. And God said, wait a minute. Who gave you that ability to get that expertise? Where did you might be unemployed. Who gave you that job? So let's remember, then he says in verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God. It is he who gives you the power or the ability to get wealth. Thank God he gives us the ability and we can use it in a right way. So when prosperity and blessing and abundance comes, I don't have to make that my God and my idol. I just say, thank you, Lord. You're my source. That's just a resource. And I want to use it wisely. And then one more, he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, because it's not only prosperity that can test our faith. Sometimes tribulation and just persecution, hard times can test our faith. Notice what he says, 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. It's your faith is growing, your love is growing. But then notice what he says as he completes the sentence in verse 4, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Sometimes prosperity can test our faith, but sometimes tribulation will test our faith too. And I know some of us can relate to this. Thank God we can grow on the mountaintop, but there's even a poem that says, in the valley I grow. And sometimes it's when we're in those seasons where it looks like it's so dark and we're so alone and we seem like we have no one else to turn to, that we do turn to the Lord and he draws us to himself. We grow closer to him and we grow more like him. And as much as we didn't enjoy going through it, many of us can stand where we are today and look back and say, that was a tough season, but I grew through it by the grace of God. Thank God. Because growth is, yes, it's good for us, but growth is a testimony for the Lord, and growth is a witness to other people who need God. It's a testimony maybe to someone who knows the Lord, and they just need that encouragement. This one has gone through a similar season. They've experienced that same loss. They've made it through. I don't see it right now, but I believe there's light at the end of this tunnel. And God is going to see me through. This valley won't last forever. This pandemic, this season, the unemployment, it won't last forever. God is faithful, and he's going to see me through. And by his grace, I'm going to grow. How do you want me to grow in this? So let's just make it real personal. So maybe you're in that season of maybe you're without work and you're wondering where the bills. I want you to know something. My heart goes out to you. I wouldn't do anything to try to condemn you or put you down. I would just say this. Maybe the Lord is just saying to you, I want you to just get closer to me. Trust me. Call a brother. Call a sister. Come into agreement in prayer. I have many streams to choose from to meet your need. Maybe for some, you have heard that doctor's report. And maybe the Lord is saying to you, draw closer to me. I'm your great physician. I'm the healer, and I can not only heal your body, I can heal your heart, I can heal your mind, your emotions, your memories, and then I can heal your body too. Lord, I just had this argument with my spouse. How do you want me to grow? You speak as respectfully to him as you speak to me. How do you want me to grow? Don't be harsh with my daughter. You go back and comfort her. These kids are getting on my nerves. How do you want me to grow? Wait a minute. Those children are a blessing. I know we grow a little impatient, but they're in a different season too. Work with them. Calm down as my son or daughter, and then go back to them. These, my parents, I just want to get out of here. How do you want me to grow, though, Lord? I want you to honor your parents. They're going through this for the first time, too. You learn together and value them, and I'll bless you throughout your life if you will trust me to do it my way now. So how do you want me to grow in this? And whatever it is, would you simply take a moment right now and just, as you just you play softly, the worship team can come back up. But I want to just, again, between your heart and the Lord, will you ask him, Lord, how do you want me to grow in this? And how can I grow closer to you? What can I do? Maybe I just need to make a little more priority in my time to just give you some time each day, and maybe even that special time every week that I can just pray to you and worship and give you my undivided attention. Lord, in what area of my life do I need to grow more like your son right now? And whatever that is, I want to ask you, will you exercise your faith in him and do what he says? And if you do, I believe you'll grow, and you'll grow in God's will. So, Father, I pray for your people right now today. Lord, that whatever season we may be in, help us to know how much you love us. It shouldn't be hard to draw near to the one who is pure love. We come against satanic condemnation, accusations in the name of Jesus, and we cast them down. We come against fear and doubt. Draw us to yourself, Lord. Help us to open up to freely receive your love, your grace, your mercy and peace. And then with everything within us, help us to love you back with all of our heart. So Lord, have your way today. Would you make it personal for each one, that wherever each one can receive it, let us do it. Let us grow in you for your own glory and honor, in Jesus' name.